We are back here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Friday. We've already talked to Logan Mankins. Coincidentally, on a Patriots Friday, we also get to complete our owner series. We began on Monday with Robert Kraft, Jeremy Jacobs on Tuesday, John Henry on Wednesday, Wick Grosbeck and Steve Paliuka on Thursday, and Jonathan Kraft wraps up our week. That's a pretty good cleanup hitter. Pretty good lineup you're hitting cleanup on there.
Hey. I was never able to do it in Little League, so I will take it with Dale and Holly. That's an honor.
Oh, come on. You're Mr. Soccer and Mr. Football. Mr. Football and Mr. Football. How about that?
Football and football. Yes, correct. I don't know.
Jonathan,
we all are in this building. Everybody wears two hats.
Jonathan is the president of the Kraft Group, and you know about the Patriots, and you know about the Revolution. Those of you who don't live in our part of the state, and I live, you know, just down the street here, you got to get down here and see what's going on up on top of the hill here, because every day it seems like something new is going on at Patriot Place.
Actually, I saw your Dunkin' Donuts right outside the door here, but Dunkin' Donuts opened today. But
we even mentioned it earlier today.
Perfect. Well, what we wanted to do was have what we're calling a rolling opening. We're starting at the beginning of August and then literally running through and into next spring. Just one or two things opening every week and bringing Patriot to place to life in a slow but steady way. And then people who come back can experience different things. And then a year from now, I think you'll really see it in the light that it's supposed to be seen in.
I got to ask you, though. I mean, let's be honest. This is trying economic times. The economy is a little scary right now. You guys have taken a real chance and made a gigantic investment up on the hill here. Why'd you do it?
We kept looking out every day and seeing 22,000 parking spaces that were only truly getting utilized to its fullest 10 times a year. And we had this location that people from all over New England had been coming to for over 30 years. And we felt like if we could build an open-air entertainment and retail destination that was really unlike anything else in New England, that, yeah, it probably would take a period of time for it to build up. But over time, we could create something that people really viewed as a unique destination where you could literally come and do anything, whether it's going to a movie and grabbing a bite to eat at one of a number of just truly great and unique restaurants, to experiencing the region's only Bass Pro, to coming to the Hall, to going to great retailers like Old Navy and Hollister, or catching a great live musical act at Showcase Live. It was just a way, and then next spring we'll have a 4-star hotel here. And then it's also a way, when the Revolution or the Patriots are playing, that people can come from other parts of New England and come down and truly make a weekend of it. And we're not trying to We know it will not reach its full potential in the first year, two or three, but we feel that 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, we'll really have a unique asset and destination here.
You have a Patriots Hall of Fame, and we saw a man retire yesterday who's going to be a part of that Hall of Fame very soon, in Troy Brown. Could you put in perspective what Troy Brown has meant as a football player and as a man? Because I'm a fan of both.
Well, Troy, as a man first, is the type of guy. There are very few players on either of our teams that I would say this about, and very few people I meet in my other lines of work, too, so I don't mean to disparage anybody, but very few guys that you meet when you're working with whoever the groups of people are that you would say, that would be a guy I would love for my daughter to marry, irregardless of whether or not he is a football player, or if he was the exact same man but was an accountant or a lawyer, or maybe not a lawyer, but you know, but whatever. And Troy Brown is just he has just the highest level of character and integrity, amazing work ethic, no ego, a great dad. I see him with his kids. He's just an exceptional human being. And then on top of it, if you're a New England Patriot fan or just a sports fan in general, you know, he embodies something that guys like us, who are normal-sized guys, you know, who never think you could compete with the big boys. He didn't just compete with the big boys. He competed above them in a lot of respects and did it for a very long period of time in a very physical game. And I think the mental and physical toughness that he has probably in a lot of respects comes from that deep sense of character that he has as a human being. And I know his teammates are going to miss him on the field, but we're lucky in that he's going to I hope we'll be spending some time around here, and we love to have him involved with us.
And this is something different for you guys. I mean, this is the guy who was a part of all the Super Bowl teams and was a three-time champion and is retiring as a Patriot. You haven't had that.
We really haven't.
Well, you know what? Maybe Ted Johnson. I guess Ted Johnson fits into that group.
Did Teddy play that in the third? I guess he did.
2004.
He did.
Part of all three Super Bowl teams and the team that lost the Super Bowl.
But, you know, the interesting thing about Troy is Teddy came our second year in 05. Troy was here when we bought the team. Troy came to the team in 93. So he, for our family, he's been here since we walked in the doors, and he is the last player who you can say that about. And it's kind of cool that he was able to retire a Patriot, because I think that's going to just happen given free agency in football and given how attractive our veterans have been to other people in the league. And I know one of the decisions a couple of years ago when Troy signed his last contract, New Orleans was very interested in him, and rightfully so. I think he would have brought a lot to their club. And at the end of the day, I think Troy took a little less money to stay here because I think he appreciated what it would mean to potentially conclude his career as a Patriot, and we're very happy
and
he did.
And it's funny, I saw him last night, Dale, on TV talking about when he first became a Patriot, and he was at Bryant College for training camp. And he said he was on that bridge. Remember that bridge overlooking the pond?
With the fish down below.
Yeah, he said he's feeding the fish. And a woman came by to talk to him because he was all by himself, and it was your mom.
Yes.
And he said from that moment on, your mom said Troy Brown was her favorite player, and I guess he remained her favorite player.
She would tell the story the exact same way, and I think my mother's not the tallest of people either. She's quite what's the word?
Diminutive.
Diminutive, thank you. I didn't do very well in English.
I doubt that.
And she, anyhow, she took a real liking to him right off the bat, and they've been close ever since. And I think a part of it was she'd look at him and couldn't believe that he was a professional football player. And you know, turned out he was a great one.
One of the entities of the Kraft Group and one of the tenants of this building is the New England Revolution. We have asked this question in the past, but I think it bears repeating again. What's the state of professional soccer in this country right now? What's the interest level? What's the relative health of your league?
It's the relative health of the league is really it is stronger than it's ever been. I think the best way to illustrate that is that the expansion teams in our league, for which there are a number of people lined up to buy, and when I say people, I'm not talking about used car dealers. Not, again, that there's anything wrong with used car dealers, but it's not sort of that old NASL idea that just some local businessman wants to get into professional sports. We have people lined up who are the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, extremely well-to-do people in other sports leagues, even Hank Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, who had been at Goldman Sachs and who's been very visible. He and his son are very actively involved in an expansion effort out in the Pacific Northwest. And so the teams are now going for just the franchise rights, $50 million. And then when you think that you have to come with a soccer-only stadium as well, you're really looking at an investment of $150 to $200 million to get into the league. I think 6 or 7 years ago, people would never have believed that to be the case. Oscar De La Hoya just bought 50% of the Houston Dynamo in a transaction that valued that franchise at close to $50 million, and they're going to do a stadium on top of it. So the health of the league, this designated player rule, I think that brought David Beckham to the league, gave us a visibility beyond the core soccer fans that I think brought some casual interest to the league, which I think has been converted to people that have sat there and said this is a great game. And finally, and most importantly, I think the quality of play of our league, and Dale, you were involved in an observer from right at the start. The quality and play of the league is dramatically above where it was when we started 14 years ago. And when you think about it, the Revolution won the Super League, a tournament this year, and we beat a U.S. MLS club, beat Mexico's three best teams back to back to back, and only allowed one goal in the process. And this was a real tournament. And if you couldn't have imagined that 13 years ago. So above all else, the quality of play is getting up to a true world-class level. And so we're really excited about where the prospects are. And I should also mention that on national television, the ratings are really quite good, too.
But with that said, it's time for an unfair shot.
Yes.
But a coincidence.
Give me a shot.
It's a coincidence, though. As you were talking about the Revolution, I'm not making this up, the NFL Network is on behind you, and they were showing Buffalo Bills highlights. and it seems like...
Oh, I know where he's going with this.
Oh, come on. I mean, what does it take?
The Revolution could beat the Bills, if that was the question were going to ask.
You're the Buffalo Bills of your league. You have gone to the championship game many times, and you haven't been able to get over the hump. What does it take to get over that hump?
if I knew, or better yet, if the organization knew, we'd be doing it. I think much like with what we've always said about our professional sports ventures is that we want to be competitive year in, year out, ultimately win championships. Winning Superliga was great, but winning MLS Cup is what we're in business to do, and we've made it to the game many years in a row, as you point out. And we've played some wonderful games, especially the one down in Texas 2 years ago that went to a shootout. I think it just takes I think we've played hard in each of the games, and I think you just need a little bit of luck to go along with the hard effort.
They've been great.
Competitive in every game, but you're playing great teams, and everybody wants to win the championship, and we just haven't been good enough on those days to do it. I don't think it's been a lack of effort. I think we have the best goalkeeper in the league, and I think that we have a core group of veteran players, you know, with Raleigh and Taylor and Michael Parkhurst, and I don't want to leave anybody else, Shari, Jay Heaps, all those guys, and they really want to win a championship too, and we just haven't been able to do it, but hopefully we'll get back to the game this year. And I think this year, when we won Superliga, I think our guys learned something about winning, and we won that competition. The championship game of that tournament came down to a very intense shootout, and I think in some respects we may have finally gotten over the hump, and hopefully if we have a chance to compete for the Cup this year in the championship game, I think that experience and winning the Lamar Hunt Open Cup last year, those two experiences will hopefully translate to a victory in MLS.
We were talking earlier today about the owners of the franchises in this town and the passion, for instance, John Henry has for the game of baseball, or that Wick and Steve have for the game of basketball. And I think you guys in particular have a passion for football. Your dad was a season ticket holder sitting out on those aluminum benches with you guys, you know, way
Absolutely.
Back when. And it almost seems like you have to have that in order to be successful. I don't think you can be dispassionate and be a winner in any of these leagues.
You can't. I think it can happen once or twice and be an aberration. But I think if you are not passionately engaged and involved with a desire to win, it's going to be very hard for your franchise to win, or certainly win consistently. And I think we've had that in football. Look, we were going to the game starting in 71, so we clearly had it with American football. And as relates to soccer, we fell in love with that game. And Dale, I remember you being very actively involved in the World Cup here in 94.
I was here at every game doing the PA on them all.
Right, and I remember talking to you. And that was really our first real exposure to high quality, high level soccer. And we fell in love with the game in two respects. We fell in love with the competition on the field and just what amazing athletes those players are. It's much more physical than people understand if they haven't been to a game live or really watched it. The endurance involved, I think, other than American football, nothing comes close to it. Just the nonstop action, the amazing amount of running. And then the players, the creativity you have, and the smarts and the teamwork involved in really being great. It's a wonderful game. The other thing that we fell in love with about it was when you looked at the crowd, it was unlike any other pro sports crowd that you see, certainly in Boston, but in the Northeast in the United States, it was very, very, very different. You had all ethnicities, all ages, all sexes who were totally into the game and understood it. And we saw that, and that's what caused us to fall in love with the game and want to get involved with it. And since then, we're as passionate and as into the Revolution as we are into the Patriots. And winning ultimately is what really matters. And I'll tell you, we were in Washington last year for the championship game, and then the championship game was whatever, some afternoon in November at the old RFK, and then the Patriots were playing that night up in Buffalo, and it was the game where we really dismantled the Bills, and we were flying home, and we were just miserable because we had lost the championship game, and rightfully so, but there were some sponsors up there of the Patriots, and we saw them after the game, and we didn't look that happy, or we were sort of feigning it, and they said, you know what? We said, you know, we just lost this championship game, and that one definitely stayed with us.
I want to ask you about the Patriots. A couple of things. There's not a lot to criticize about the Patriots in the last decade, really. You've won championships. You've got very good players. You've got guys who are respected in the community. Let me ask you, do you sense what we sense at times, that on a national stage, whether it is national commentators or fans who are upset that the Patriots are winning and their team is not, do you sense that there's a disdain for the Patriots? Oh, is that a fair statement from people outside of New England?
Disdain is a strong word. I think probably a lot of people look at it, much as I grew up around here, watching teams like the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Cowboys, and dreaming about the Patriots being like them. I didn't like any of those teams, but you had a very healthy respect for what they were able to accomplish. And I think some of that probably exists around the league.
Like ESPN. But do you think ESPN has respect for the Patriots?
I think
that's a healthy respect?
I think some people there do, and I think some people there
think bring, it's 50-50.
Bring personal agendas to what they're doing. And I think, you know, when you look, if I'm a viewer and I'm watching, whether it's watching ESPN and hearing people commentate about professional sports, or just as I was before coming down here watching CNBC and listening to people commentate, you've seen over and over again, you understand the biases that they're bringing to the table. And clearly there are some guys at ESPN who, for whatever reason, don't like our franchise, don't like our coach, might not like our quarterback, whatever it is. But they've been proven wrong so many times in what they say that I think they're the ones that kind of look, hey, that's what makes a great entertainment. We don't get that upset about it. We want to do what we do. And if people are talking about you or thinking about you, that's better than the alternative. And the other thing that we want to do as a franchise is try to stand for something, both on the field and off the field in our community. And if we're accomplishing that, we don't really care if there are some people that have issues with what or how we're doing it.
Now, last year, one of those people talking about you was a United States Senator from Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Do you believe that incident, and then not just the incident, but the commentary about the incident that went on in different parts? At first it died down, then it came back again after the Super Bowl. I mean, during the Super Bowl, then after the Super Bowl. Did that hurt the bottom line in any type of way?
there's a lot of questions and a lot of issues wrapped up into that. Let me say this. In the first quarter of the first game of last year, we broke a rule. It wasn't a rule that certainly anybody in my family knew that either was a rule or what we were doing, but we broke a rule. We got penalized for it at a level that is beyond anything else that had ever happened to anybody else in the league. And I would argue we were wrong. Okay, we were absolutely wrong. So I'll preface it by saying that. I don't think not only did it not have any bearing on that game, but I don't think that what had been going on as a practice, when you got to the bottom of truly how it was being used, and the fact that I really don't think Bill was even cognizant anymore that was being done. It was something that was really ancillary to the system. It had no bearing on how we did in games. And then the bottom line is, under more scrutiny than anybody had ever been under in the league, we went on to accomplish something that had never been done before. Then a newspaper chose to write a story after giving us literally 20 minutes of notice before they went to press with it on the Friday night before the Super Bowl. I mean, you put this in perspective. The Friday night before the Super Bowl, 20 minutes or an hour, 40 minutes before going to press, we got a call. We got our lawyers on the phone right away and just said, you'd be very, very wrong to print this story. It is not true. Bill, well, I won't even get into all the details. And they chose to print a story which then had legs for 4 more months for a young man who effectively was a thief, who left here, stole things, which still have not been returned to this building, but was given credibility in a national stage. And a U.S. senator chose to get involved with that instead of looking at Fannie and Freddie. I'm glad he thought that was important, because our country today is in a huge liquidity crisis that I'm not saying Arlen Specter on his own, but think about the time and the energy that Arlen Specter put into that and how that benefited the American people. And I guess that's his prerogative. He's a U.S. senator. But the bottom line is, it did not affect our bottom line. I think it obviously affected how a casual fan in Des Moines or Fargo, North Dakota, or New Mexico, or wherever, probably viewed us. And they probably think we were guilty of something that we weren't. And at the end of the day, that newspaper was forced to run a complete front page apology. And I think that says it all. I don't think it hurt our financial bottom line, but our image and reputation are very important. And I don't know how you can ever get compensated for that.
Final question from me, based on what I see up on the hill here, you guys dream big. What's next?
I don't know. We got to digest it. We got to digest it. And we're doing some things in our other businesses. But I think right down here in Foxborough with the Revolution and the Patriots and Patriot Place, we're in a mode of digesting things and figuring out how everything can work together and run together in a way that makes it even a bigger and better location. So I think that's what we're thinking about. But I will say this, if you haven't been down to Patriot Place, come down and check out the hall, or check out Showcase Live or the Cinema Deluxe. It's a great theater. Check out some of the cool retailers that we have in an environment that you don't see in any other place, and come down and do it. The Revs are at home the next two Saturday nights. This Saturday we're playing Columbus. They're ahead of us by a couple more points than we can make up this weekend, but come down and watch us battle the two best teams in the East, and see a game and check out Patriot Place. I think you'll like it. And if you have any feedback for us, please be sure to give it to us. I think that's about it. We appreciate the relationship with you guys, and now having you down here every Monday and Friday, it's really cool. I hope it's.
I live 8 miles away. I love it. Well, it's fine by me.
You know what I love about doing this now on Friday with you guys is the public gets to, you know, the fact that Logan is on, and I know Rodney's on with you guys. I think a guy like Logan, who the public doesn't get to hear from on a regular basis, who's really quite an intelligent guy and a great football player, and I'm glad that we're able to do that. And one of these days we're going to have to start up a Revolution Wednesday or Thursday or something like that, because the Revs players are very articulate and great guys too, and they're very fun to watch.
And my daughter tells me Taylor Twellman's the cutest guy playing sports in this town. So.
You know, and my daughter loves Taylor, but she would say Shari Joseph.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
And you never know.
We really appreciate
Thanks, Jonathan,
taking the time and allowing us to finish up our series on a very nice note this week.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here,
Jonathan Kraft, president of the Kraft Group here on Sports Radio WEEI.